Welcome to the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike is here every Sunday morning at 9 with tips on buying and selling your home, information on the loans to look for, and the ones to avoid. Throughout the Real Estate Hour, call in and ask your questions direct to Mike. And now, the man whose first words were location, location, location. Here's Mike Kelly.
Good morning, Sonoma County. Mike Kelly, it is the Real Estate Hour right here. It's only right here. It's not anywhere else. It's just right here. Right here on KSRO 1350, 103.5 FM and 94.5 FM. Welcome to the show. We are a live real estate talk show. We do this every Sunday on KSRO, and I've been doing it for over 20 years. You know, this is also my 40th year in real estate. I just found that out. I checked my license. I went, holy Toledo, this is my 40th year. Is that holy cow?
When you think back, you can remember 40 years. Does that make you feel a little older?
Thanks, Joe.
Well, I do the same thing.
So you have the razor blade now so I can slice my wrist?
40 years ago, I was in the Navy, and I actually was in the Middle East, and I'm thinking about that. Can it be that long ago?
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it.
Doesn't even seem like the same lifetime.
Oh, I remember walking around when I was 20 years old thinking, God, when I'm 50, it'll be the year 2000. I'll never make that.
Well, that's right. Yeah.
Anyway, guess what?
I was 44, and now this century is old enough to vote.
It's crazy. I mean, yeah, think about it. Yeah. I mean, it seems like it just turned 2000. Yeah. I have the Press Democrat 2000 newspapers tucked away in my office.
Remember all the computers were going to collapse?
Oh, yeah. Well, my wife was one of the only people in the world, not really in the world, but who knew COBOL. And that was the programming language that was used when they first set up all these computers. That's why they were worried about it turning to 2000 and everything falling apart. Well, she knows how to change that if it were to happen. So she spent New Year's Eve, okay, for the millennial at Sonoma State.
Really?
Because she was there to make sure.
A lot of people were on duty.
Yeah, exactly. And that if anything went wrong, I think it was just totally a Microsoft thing that says, okay, you need to buy this fix. And anyway, but it was a curious thing. I had a timed down clock. Countdown clock.
Countdown, yeah.
Showing, and it's really cool. I still got it. It's showing the year 2000 is coming. You know, I actually went out and bought. I remember I bought a filled up all my gas propane containers, and I bought a gas stove.
So we're prepared.
We're on a well, so I had a whole tank full of water. We have a huge water tank on our property. So I said, okay, I got it. And I should have went out and bought a gun so I could have defended, my water supply and all that stuff. But I never got that crazy. Anyway, but it was all for naught.
Everybody started relaxing when, it started turning New Year's in Australia. And nothing was happening.
Yeah, so we had, the East Coast was fine. Let's go, baby. Yeah,
that's it.
Yeah, we have friends of ours who have a East Coast New Year's party every year, and it's over at 9 o'clock.
Yeah,
that's it. Okay, happy New Year.
I think you get to a certain
perfect
age,
perfect for
one.
My age cohort.
That's exactly.
Okay, time to go home, go to bed.
Yeah.
Anyway, so welcome. Anyway, how in the heck did we get? Oh, we were talking about 40 years.
Yeah.
So I've been doing this for quite a while, and I've had the pleasure and I say this, because I'm not bragging, but it's just to me is very touching. Is that I've had actually people, tell their heirs to use me as their realtor when they go to sell their property. And I'm sure other realtors that have been in the business for as long as, I have had this happen too. And it's very interesting when it happens. But with me, it's a thing where they listen to me for years and years. And the stories I've heard is that mom, considered you one of her friends and advisors. And she always took notes on what you were saying. And I just had a call last week where a gentleman called me and said he was the nephew of a woman who had passed away. It was his aunt. And she had a property she needed to sell over on Scenic Avenue, and you're the guy she wanted to use. So I need you to come out here and list the property. And I went out there last week, and we listed the property. It's a beautiful property on Scenic Avenue, and it's a 1925 California bungalow You've seen them in the JC quite a bit. They have the big front porches and kind of like a craftsman style kind of look to them. And this one is absolutely pristine. It's absolutely incredible. I mean, there's no cracks in the stucco. Everything is totally straight when it comes to the house. She has leaded glass doors that go from the living room to the dining area that are beautiful, and they just opened, Joe, like they were put in there yesterday, you know. So just an incredible property, big old barn, big old garage, you know, and she has another garage which is kind of leaning precipitously to the right. that could go any second, but it was very nice. I had the same thing happen with a couple of properties in Oakmont where we had a lot of folks, you know, listen to the show. And where her son called me and said, Mom wanted, you know, told me if I was going to sell the house, I got to use you. I said, okay. But Allison and I listed that one. That was in Oakmont. But it's really interesting when that happens to you as a realtor, is that, you know, it's nice to know that people are not really leaving you in their wills, but they're telling their heirs that, hey, use that guy. He's good. So we'll talk about that property more next Sunday. I've got the California Association of Realtor meetings coming up. I was a director years ago, and I'm going to be a director this year. And what that basically means is that I'm representing the Santa Rosa chapter at the state level for all the realtor information. So hopefully I'll have some inside scoop for you guys, you know, when I come back on the air next Sunday. We're trying to do some really interesting things. The big thing we're trying to do is we're trying to take, you know, we've talked about Proposition 60 and 90 here. And 60 is you can take your old tax base, you know, your Proposition 13 tax base. And this gal's taxes, Joe, on her house, she's been there forever, it's $888. So Proposition 60 would allow her to take that if she to either equal or lesser value. Say she found a condo to move into, her new tax rate would be the old one, $888, instead of, you know, 1% of the sales price, basically, you know, maybe 1.1 or 1.20 of the sales price. So that's Proposition 60. Proposition 90, there are about, I think, 10 or 11, I think there are about 10 counties that will allow you to take your old tax base. So she could sell her house, Joe, take her $888 tax base with her, and move to any of these other counties and still have her tax base as the $888, which must drive the assessor in that county crazy because he's getting, you know, taken, you know, instead of maybe they buy a house for $300,000 where the taxes should be $3,000, they're only $888. So they're losing money, right? Well, the state of California, like I said, there's only 10 counties that allow this, and there's 52 counties in the state. So CAR, the California Association of Realtors, is trying to make this Proposition 90 throughout the state. And to do that, we have to get 500,000 signatures and put it on the ballot as an initiative. So that's going to be our big, big, big thrust for the probably for the entire 2018 season. So we're going to see if we can do that, because what we're finding out, and we've discussed it here on the show many times before, is that folks, they want to sell their house and they've got an old tax base, but if they go to our county, they're going to be hit with their new tax base, which is can be a lot of money. So we're going to come back and we'll chat about why that we think that is a good thing. Plus, keeping properties off the MLS and selling them in-house or selling them off the MLS, and why I'm against that. There was a really interesting article in Inman.com about how some people think that may be against the fair housing laws. So we're going to talk about that, plus a whole bunch of stuff, and we'll take your calls. Give us a call, if you would, at 636-1350. 636-1350. You can go to Facebook Live and see me live and in person, which is, I don't know if you really want, but it's not a bad thing. You can see Joe, too. Yeah, wave. But it's go to Facebook, and you can like us. That's what we like you to do anyway. The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on Facebook. And say hi to Mike, and we'll say hi to you. You want to ask a question, put it in the comments there, and Joe's monitoring that as we go along. And then you can also try nodumbquestion@gmail.com for any other conversations you want to have during the week, nodumbquestion@gmail.com. And always, you can give me a call at, what is my number, Joe? 707-322-8503. That's my cell phone, 322-8503. If that's not enough numbers for you, I don't know what is. Anyway, so I'm sure you wrote all that stuff down, right, you guys? Okay, we'll take a break, come back. More with the Real Estate Hour.
The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Mike will be right back with more on KSRO.
The Drive with Steve Jackson.
It's Lewis Black.
What about the Jeff Sessions thing last week?
Which Jeff Sessions thing? The state's burning to the ground. You're going to worry about pot?
Afternoons here on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
Traffic on the fives and weather six times an hour, mornings on FM News Talk Radio, KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. This is the Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday, like every Sunday. We don't even take a Sunday off. We're just always on here every Sunday. We got nothing better to do, Joe, than come down here.
And we just went through Sundays full of holidays.
We were here. We had two Eves. We had Christmas Eve and we had New Year's Eve. And we're here to the bitter end. Anyway, so give us a call if you want. You have any questions? You have any questions, give us a call, 636-1350. I'm also on Twitter, which I know you just love all these things I throw at you guys at the beginning of the show. And it's at Big Kel, capital B-I-G, capital K-E-L, at Big Kel. If you are so inclined to tweet, maybe Mr. Trump will send me a tweet. Like your show there, Mike. It's a great show. Yeah, right. Anyway, so the
best show ever.
Best show in history, Joe. So the market, I was showing property yesterday, and it's pretty skinny. You know, I have a client who's looking between, probably 5 and maybe 570. And we actually, there were only 5 properties in the northeast, southeast area that we looked at. So that's kind of skinny, you know, all over the place. We only have 414 active or showable listings right now for a population of 500,000. So, guys, that's skinny. To put it in some context, you know, 7-8 years ago, we were having something like on the order of 1,400 to 2,000 listings. So it's a whole different dynamic when you're looking at houses and you know, trying to buy a home is when you have, you know, 2,500 listings versus, you know, 414. And then when you look at those, it's you know, the REO market and the short sale market at one time was a huge number. It's absolutely just disappeared. There's only one REO for sale right now in the MLS and only 4 short sales. And that's just too many short sales. 4 is just too many when it comes to short sales. So very, very skinny in that regard. Interesting breakdown, though, of the properties. You know, of the 414 properties, 252 are owner-occupied. We have 120 that are vacant. And that's always it's always interesting to me where those vacant homes come from. But there's 42 that are tenant occupied. So you can see that, you know, some tenant properties are being sold. It could be some profit taking. It could be, you know, some investors may be thinking, okay, this has got to be. You know, this has got to be at the top of the market. But, you know, when you look at the dynamics of the marketplace and what's going on, you know, we don't really see a huge bubble. The only bubble possibly that could burst is the stock market. And if that does a major nosedive and, you know, people keep thinking, well, you know, a recession is just down the road there and it could happen in the next maybe year or two. We're not really seeing any indices of that yet. Some people, you know, watch the interest rates, but that, you know, it's not going to be that crazy. I think the Fed, even if they get really excited and raise it maybe three times this year, it'll probably push rates up to only maybe 4.6, 4.7, which, guys, it's under 5%. That's still incredible. So keep it, you know, keep it in context. When I got in the marketplace, we were at 9.5%. You know, after about 3 months later, we were at 10%. I think we had to change the usury laws because 10% was considered usurious at the time. And then we promptly went the next year up to 18.5%. And then I spent the vast majority of my career in double-digit interest rates. And when it came under 10%, it was like, you know, the second coming. Realtors are going, 9%, we're at 9, my God, 9%, that's incredible. What, man, single-digit interest rates are back. We're going to kick butt. The market's going to go berserk. You know, and it did it. It didn't go berserk. But it was nice to have that there. But then it got as low as, like, what, 3.5%. So, and will we see 3.5% again? I don't think so. But you're, you know, still at 4%, guys. That's not that far away, you know. And if you want to do a shorter-term loan, you know, you can get 15-year loans. It's something you may want to consider if you are a aging baby boomer. Or, I mean, with the new tax laws now, you know, the if you try to refinance, you're not going to be able to write that off. There were some thoughts where if you were refinancing for a home improvement project that you could write it off, but I was told that's not going to happen. So you're kind of stuck with, if you're going to be taking any of your MID, your mortgage interest deduction, it'll probably have to be on a refinance. And you need to check with your accountant about that too. And we're trying to get our friend Madeline Cromwell to come on the show, but she is, you know, still working her way through the tax code to make sure she can, you know, give decent advice. It's still shaken out pretty much. So right now, if you do, you know, refinance, you know, with the 15-year loan, your payments are probably going to be about 25% higher. But man, you're going to pay that loan off super fast. Okay, at the end of 5 years with the 30-year loan, you owe 98.5% of the loan. At the end of 5 years, with a 15-year, you owe like 87%. So it's a significant difference. Then it just goes down from there. So, but your payments will be higher. And then once you're locked into that 15-year, you're locked into that 15-year. But you can get those rates today, those 15-year loans, I think at like 3.5%. So they're, not only are you getting rapid buildup because you're, you know, you're paying so much towards your principal, but you're paying even more so because your rates are so low. So give that a consideration. We have any number of great lenders we could recommend here on the show. Otto Kobler, with who's been a host here on the show, about three or four times. Great guy. Does runs a good show. Runs a great office. He's with Summit Funding. Who else we had on here? Pete Phillippe. Pete is no longer in the lending business. Okay, he's kind of retired from that. But we have other lenders that could, you know, that are just as competent. There's Eric Oquist at Wells Fargo Mortgage. He's in my executive association. And Eric is going to be coming onto the show. He finally got approval from corporate at Wells Fargo, so he will be coming on here probably sometime in February. So there's a lot of great lenders out there. You know, you need to get pre-approved. George Adair, who's also on this station, George is a great guy. He can get you pre-approved. He's on the S, the expert program, I think, on Wednesday at noon. He's a great guy. So, you know, we have a lot of great people that we can get you pre-approved with. And there's all sorts of different kind of loans, too. I have a property now, which is on Willowside Road, which is we had an escrow, but it fell apart. We have a septic issue we have to deal with. So maybe perhaps a rehab loan, you know, and you don't see very many of those done, but a rehab loan would work perfect for this property. And it's an estate. We're not really under any huge hurry to sell the property. So we could probably work with somebody on that. And we do have an offer that came in, which is a rehab loan. So I'll keep you informed on the progress of that property, because part of that will be probably replacing the septic system. So, you know, there's a lot of different ways to skin a cat, as they say, and when you're in real estate, there's all sorts of different loans. When you look at the loans, you know, what they break down, the, you know, cash is, we had 357 sales in December. A third of those were cash, almost a third, 105 sales were cash, 214 were conventional. 20 FHA, 8 VA, 4 private or hard money, no owner carrybacks. Okay, so if you ever hear those schemes where the guy says, yeah, have the owner carry back for you, we're not seeing them MLS. There could be some off-market stuff where you have somebody coming in. You know, a classic thing is the this sale, you know, I got, you know, was or the referral I got from this a nephew of this listener who had passed away, is that she thought her house was only worth $400,000, and we're listening for like just over $700,000, because it's got almost two and a half acres, it's got an absolutely stunning, beautiful house, huge barns that are perfectly usable, you know, the two and a quarter. Two and a quarter acres is all usable. So you can, you know, if you wanted to, if you can get the septic to cooperate, add a granny unit to it. So it's got a lot of great utility. But the thing is that I remember hearing a scammer one time say, you know, I've never given somebody a price they didn't want. And this gal is a classic case. If somebody would have knocked on her door and said, I'll tell you what I'll do, ma'am, I'll give you $500,000 for this property, and she probably would have said, my God, it's only worth $400,000. Give me $100,000 more. I'll take it, right? That happens a lot in the world, unfortunately. There's a lot of scammers out there and a lot of programs, you know, where you'll see a lot of these 100% down or 100% finance properties, owner financing, blah, 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 blah. And they basically are out to screw somebody. That's basically what they are. Okay, they're not there in any altruistic form. They're out there just to screw somebody out of somebody. Okay, and when it comes to the off-market sales, you know, I don't think somebody is out to screw anybody. I just think it's done for expediency and for all the wrong reasons. I've yet to hear a really good, you know, a positive reason. I know there are issues sometimes selling property. And, you know, off the market sales, they've doubled since last year, so they are an issue. We'll talk about that when we come back from the news. But the thing is that, you know, when you look what's going on, you know, with these sales, you know, you have to really be careful. But there are scammers out there like crazy. There's a guy, I can't think of his name. I'll think if I can remember it during the break. I think it's Reed. And he analyzes all these scammers. And he has a newsletter that you can subscribe to. So I'll try to get his name for you. We'll take a break and come back more with the Real Estate Hour. I'm Mike Kelly. Give us a call if you want. Your calling numbers are 636-1350, 636-1350.
FM News.
Radio, North County 103.5, South County 94.5, KSRO.
Saying he's in favor of a House motion to censure him and won't attend the State of the Union.
In good conscience, I cannot and will not sit there and listen at him as he give the State of the Union address.
On how President Trump referred to African nations, Haiti and El Salvador in that Thursday bipartisan meeting, Senator Tom Cotton, Arkansas Republican, today on CBS's Face the Nation.
I didn't hear that word either. I certainly didn't hear what Senator Durbin has said repeatedly.
Senator David Perdue, Georgia Republican, initially said he didn't remember hearing the word. Now on ABC's This Week, he denies the president said it.
This is about a gross misrepresentation. It's not the first time.
Spokesman for Senator Dick Durbin tweets in the past hour or so, credibility is something that's built by being consistently honest over time. Senator Durbin has it. Senator Perdue does not. Ask anybody who's dealt with both. Iran says it has released all protesters detained since recent mass demonstrations. Chuck Sievertson, ABC News.
KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home, and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
Sonoma County's most accurate, dependable forecast with KSRO's Daniel Trucios.
Overcast is coming. Some clouds today, though, at 67, 65 on the coast. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 45, 47 on the shores. Should be cloudy skies for Monday at 61, 60 in Bodega Bay. Could see some rain that night. Tuesday, cloudy with some chance of morning showers, high 57. Depend on weather every 30 minutes on FM News Talk 103.5 and 94.5 KSRO.
Welcome back to the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly on KSRO. Now, here's more with Mike.
We are back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour, heard every Sunday morning right here on the News and Talk of Sonoma County, 1350 KSRO, 94.5 FM, 103.5 FM. You can check us out there. Also, KSRO.com. And then you can also go to Like Me at Facebook, if you would, the Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. And right now I'm broadcasting live video, and we have some folks on there looking. Good morning, okay. Brian. So we were talking about newsletters and scammers and this kind of thing. The gentleman you want to research, if you can, is John T. T as in Tom, Reed, R-E-E-D, newsletter. And if you just put that in Google, John T. Reed newsletter, you can, you know, subscribe to his newsletter, or you can check his website out. He was one of the first guys that really went after all the scammers, and he would just rip them apart. And all these guys you hear about, you know, 100% financing, subject to loans, lease options, all this kind of stuff. He's the guy that really kind of tears them apart and looks at their programs. It's a good resource if you're serious about buying and you're an investor. He has a great investor newsletter, which has the nuts and bolts of owning rental property. So I recommend him highly. I was going to have him on the show, but he's kind of an ornery guy. So I just kind of passed on that. But he has really good information. So check it out, John T. Reed newsletter. You will not be disappointed. So we're talking about off-market listings. And last year, I think we had 137, or the year before that, in 2017, we had almost 285. And what these are properties that sell that are MLS allows somebody to put a property that's sold off market into the MLS for what we call comp purposes or comparable sales purposes. So we can use it as a valid comparable. And I kind of doubt the validity of it being a valid comparable because it was never really vetted to the market. And I think for a property to be a viable comp or viable comparable sale, it needs to be really vetted to the market so you can see what the market would have paid for that property. My issue with off-market properties is, you know, it's kind of a classic scenario we had not only this time, though it's more prevalent today, but also back in the other hot market we had. Well, which ones were they? The 2000 market, the 89 market, you know, so you can go back and always see this happening. And basically what it is, it's somebody's trying to double in the deal, or what happens is that it's a very tight marketplace. You have, say you're in a big office and you go out in caravan, that's when you go look at all the other properties. Caravan is because we're all in cars following each other to these properties, and you know, and you, everybody gets out, and you know, 60 agents run through your house, and the seller goes, "Oh, wow, look at all the agents here! This is so cool!" And then they all disappear in about 2 seconds. And so, what happens is that somebody may have a buyer for that property because these big offices, and you know, that's why we use this clause, you know, on a seller representation where we, you know, big companies will have, you know, agents listing your neighbor's property. They may have, you know, we do a lot of things that are not really in-house, but we, you know, do things in the marketplace where we kind of overlap, especially the big companies. So what happens, the classic scenario is that, you know, Sally's got a new listing. Fred comes in and says, "Sally, I got a buyer for this." She goes, "Bring them over." So it's not in the market yet. You know, a lot of agents, and I do it, we list properties before we put them on the market. And we do that because, you know, we're going to be giving advice. We're in a fiduciary relationship with somebody. So if I'm going to be in a fiduciary relationship with somebody, you know, I really feel I should have a contract. So that's why we do this. So you list the property, and you may not put it on the market for 1 or 2 weeks. And you tell your clients that. You explain to them that's what you're going to do. You do an exclusion from the MLS stating that we're going to put this on the market in 2 months or 2 weeks, that is. Some do 2 months. But you're going to basically, that's because you're going to repair things. You're doing reports like this property on scenic. I'm doing a septic report. I'm doing a pest report. So we can have those when we go to market the property. We can give somebody a full disclosure package and go forward. And some, you know, some sellers agree to do that. Some sellers do not. But these folks have agreed to do that. So you have that period in which to do this, you're in a fiduciary, you're giving them advice and this kind of thing. So that's why I think you are in a fiduciary. You should have an agency, you know, agreement signed. And that's what we always do, folks, when we list property. We always have that agency signed right up front. So we've got that explained, and then you get things done, and then you go ahead and put it on the market, and everything's fine. But a lot of agencies, what happens, getting back to our example, is that they could have it listed, but then Fred says, "Hey, Sally, I got a buyer for it." And she goes, "Well, bring them by." So, you know, boom. You know, they come by, and Fred's guy loves it, gives him a full-price offer. You know, and most of the off-market properties will say that they sold for 100% of asking, which they better. if you're off the market and you don't get 100%, when the average study in the MLS is 100%, you know, you got some explaining to do, right? So they basically sell it for 100%, but it's not really vetted to the marketplace. So then what happens is that the neighbor sells his house and has the same thing happen. They have a caravan. Everybody comes through. But the agent says, "I'm going to look at offers once it hits the market, say a week from now, or I'll just take the offers as they come." But it's in the MLS. It's out there vetted. Okay. And when you go to the MLS, guys, you just don't go to the realtors. The MLS broadcasts that sucker all over the place. All right. So that listing is being exposed all over to the marketplace via the internet and any number of web portals. And I mean, it's pretty amazing how much, you know, we get the listings out there. So as far as a standard of care, I think that's what you need to do. But what happens this time is that the seller sells his property and he gets maybe $50,000 more than his neighbor did, or $20,000. I mean, there are some instances in our realtor, in our MLS, and I've been tracking this, like I've told you the last few, 4 weeks, about houses that sell in excess of 110% of asking. So that means they're selling for 10% over the asking price, minimum, you know, and there's a whole bunch that sell over that. So how do you know what your property really is going to get until you expose it to the marketplace? I don't think there's a realtor in town that's going to tell you, this is the price, this is the only price you're going to get. If they're saying that, guys, I think you need to find a new realtor. You know, we can get within a percentage, but I don't think anybody can tell you exactly what it's going to sell for. So this guy goes on the market, sells it for maybe 5% over asking. You know, it's a great house, gets a great, you know, multiple offers because he's been on the market and exposed to the market. So guess what? The guy's moving out. The other guy's talking to him. So, hey, what did you get for your house? Oh, I got $585,000. He goes, what? He goes, you got the same model I got. He goes, yeah, same model, four bedrooms, 20 square feet. He goes, I only got $520,000. What? Why did that happen? Well, let me find out why it happened. So the first person he calls besides his attorney is going to be, you know, the listing agent and say, what in the wide, wide, wide world of sports is going on around here? Why did I get less than my neighbor who sold his property? And the agent's defense will be, well, you know, you said you liked the offer. We brought a full price offer to you and, you know, and you liked the buyers and everything and you didn't want to be disturbed and all that stuff. He goes, yeah, but I left $50,000 on the table. But you said, he goes, I don't care what I said. You're my agent. You should have been looking out for my best interests. Oops.
What's your reply to that?
Yeah, what's your reply to that? Well, you hear a big gulp, all right? And then, you know, the phone probably hangs up. No, they probably, well, this is what you said. And sometimes sellers, but see, the thing about it is that, and that's a defense of a lot of agents. They say, well, it's always the seller's call. And I find that totally bogus. You know, the sellers always call the shots. But when's the last time a seller sold a home? The average time a seller sells a house now is 10 years. How are they going to know the intricacies of this marketplace unless you, the agent, inform them of their options? And God darn it, a lot of agents don't do that. So we have more and more sales that are happening off the market. Now, a lot of people say, well, Mike, it was sold to a friend. I get that. That's cool. You know, but they better sign a document that states that they're selling off market, they are getting probably substantially less than they could normally, and blah, 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 blah. Okay? Medical issues, there could be a deal. I mean, you know, there are extenuating circumstances. But for the vast majority of the situations, it's basically expediency and agent greed. And that's what it gets down to. Let's make an in-house sale. Boom. You know, we don't got to spend any money on marketing. We don't got to, you know, do this, do that, get our money, we get the heck out of there, everybody's happy. Right, everybody's happy. All right, so that's the opinion of Mike Kelly, not that of the North Bay Associate Realtors or the management or ownership of KSR or Keller Williams. But this fries my butt. Fries my butt, Joe. And I got a big butt to fry, I'm telling you, you know. But, you know, but
don't show
that. Yeah, don't. That's a bad image. It's a bad image. But, you know, there is a great article about I'm not thinking of moon pie. That's all I can think right here. Anyway, where the heck?
Might be a good time for a break.
Yeah, you know, that is a good time for a break. But let's do that. Good segue, Joe. We'll take a break, and you guys can ponder moon pie. Yeah. We'll, or please don't. Or give us a call at 636-1350, right back after these words.
The Drive with Steve Jackson.
With us is the Vice Mayor of Santa Rosa, Chris Rogers.
I think the next couple of years will be a little bit tricky, but I think 4, 5, 6 years out, we're going to come back a lot stronger economically than we were.
Afternoons here on FM News Talk Radio, 103.5 and 94.5, KSRO.
Real estate agents come and go in Sonoma County. The ones who stick around know things the dabblers don't. Mike Kelly's been selling real estate full-time right here since 1978. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you gotta call Mike.
I was born to sell real estate.
His first words were location, location, location. Mike Kelly knows things the dabblers don't.
I can build a custom strategic plan to sell your home faster for more money with less hassle.
Mike's got specialized market knowledge to help you set the right price for your home. Unmatched Sonoma County connections to find qualified buyers fast, and the online and offline tools that really work.
Show me your home, and I'll show you three easy tips to make it look better to buyers, even if you don't use me.
Sell your home faster for more money with less hassle. If you want the Mike Kelly difference, you've got to call Mike. Call the Mike Kelly team today, 707-322-8503.
North Bay play-by-play home of the Golden State Warriors and Oakland Raiders. FM News Talk Radio, 103.5, 94.5, KSRO.
We are back. Good morning, Mike Kelly. It is the Real Estate Hour, and we're talking about off-market properties. And the reason I brought this up is there was an article in at Inman.com. That's I-N-M-A-N, Inman.com, written by a gal named Teresa Boardman, who's been a correspondent with Inman for quite a while. And Inman is a good resource for a lot of consumers and realtors. Sometimes it is a little too realtor-centric, a little too inside baseball kind of stuff. But she brought this up because it was a general conversation a lot of us are having. And her title of the article was, "Is Withholding from the MLS Crossing the Fair Housing Line?" And that's where some of this may, you know, may get to eventually. You know, the thing is that, and she uses sells a lot of condos and association properties where the, you know, the people in the association were stating, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod, you're going to get the right people in here, aren't you? You know, so we have some of that going on here. So, you know, I've had people in my years in the business, like I said, I've been doing this for 40 years, where I get, you know, people who say, now you are going to get the right people in here to sell, to buy our house, aren't you? Because our neighbors want to make sure we get the right people. And the right people usually means something to do with, you know, a violation of the Fair Housing Act, because they usually, you know, want, you know, a certain color, a certain religion. I mean, I've heard that so many times before, you know, and, you know, we basically, I tell people, I said, look, that's not for you to determine. Okay, it's not for me to determine. If you put it in the marketplace, you know, you decide which buyer you want to get, you know, and that's where it's at. So the but you can't really look at your agent and say, look, I only want this to be shown by this race, this color, this ethnicity. And I've had little old ladies tell me that, you know, where now we remember Mike, and I go, ma'am, we can't do that. You know, and you have to, oh yeah. So a lot of people are saying a lot of the deals with like HOAs or some neighborhoods even is that, you know, people that sell them, you know, with off the MLS, that could be happening. And it kind of happens inadvertently a lot because, you know, neighbors are talking to neighbors and they're going, hey, doesn't your sister want to live in our area? Why don't you call her real quick because there's a listing coming up there. Maybe you guys can do a deal, you know, and we don't have to put it on the market and not get somebody we don't like, that kind of stuff. So, you know, I want to think that in Sonoma County, that's the furthest thing away from, you know, that, I mean, we just don't do that here. I think I'd be naive if I said that. But I'll say it anyway. I kind of look toward the better good of the agents. I think the agents aren't doing that, but I think they risk, because of their actions, something happening along those lines. You know, and there are some really interesting comments to the story, you know, that this could be, you know, probably happening. And the comments were pretty intelligent. And unfortunately, you know, sometimes we get some replies to some of these subject matters, which are a little, you know, full of hyperbole and accusations and all that kind of stuff. But I'm just going to read a few of these comments because I think it kind of, it brings up the other side of the story, which, you know, I'm open to, you know, other reasons, valid reasons why you wouldn't want to do this. This one gentleman says, in my area, I believe there is a variation of this going on that's off-market properties or selling to people they like. One that also seems, if not suspicious, at least it seems to indicate less than perfect agency. That's when we talk about misrepresentation and not necessarily misrepresentation, but not doing your fiduciary to your seller. Renovating homes and reselling them is a pretty big business here several times a year. Properties that would be ideal for such renovation appear on the MLS. Showing instructions when available often seem to be pretty torturous or inaccurate, i.e., they have a call showing service, which will have no record of the property, or call, email, or text agent, all these kind of different things, who sometimes seems remarkably unresponsive. Then shortly after being on the market, the property goes under contract. And again, often by the same brokerage, and yes, the thing that brought up my curiosity is the sales price, often less than the market would seem to be willing to offer. And believe me, that happens a lot. You're given these incredible, intricate showing instructions. Text seller, text buyer, text the agent, and then text the other agent, and then we'll call you back, and you can only show it between 9 and 5 on Wednesdays, and we're looking at offers on Thursday. I mean, there's a lot of things that go on here where you go, why don't you make it a little more harder for us to show it, which is I think, in turn, kind of, you know, negate even having it in the MLS. Another commenter, pocket listings clearly undermine. Pocket listing is a listing. You have it listed, but you're not putting it in the MLS. You're keeping it in your, quote, pocket. Pocket listings clearly undermine the Real Estate Association by limiting exposure or preferential exposure to RE, buddies, elites, in-house, other shenanigans. All to manipulate a seller's market to the advantages of a few sales are quick and easy, so why not? Buyers and sellers think they are getting a special deal. When is the real estate industry going to get professional? Trustworthy, it's up to each of us. So, and we see that a lot, okay, where, you know, we have a lot of in-house, you know, sales. There's we have it at the MLS all the time in our realtor breakfast, where a lot of agents say, I've seen everything on the market. If you got something that's not on the market, I really, really want to see it. So they're basically telling you code that, look, you know, don't put it on the MLS. Let me know. Now, when I'm representing a buyer, my agency is to that buyer. All right. And if an agent wants me, okay, to go ahead and show a property that's not on the market, you know, my duty is to my buyer. So I'm going to try to get my buyer the best deal I can. All right. It's not my fault that their agent decided not to put on the market. I don't go in there with a letter that states that, you know, Mr. Seller, you should take this away from your agent and put it in the MLS because they're not doing you any good. Okay, the way the agency is structured in Sonoma County and my buyer wants the best deal, I'm going to try to get them the best deal. Now, if I'm the listing agent, okay, then that's where I really get crazy about getting in the MLS. Now, some people may think, well, Mike, that's kind of hypocritical, isn't it? I said, well, you know, the way agency is structured, the way my buyers are, if I can get my buyer a good deal, that's what I have to do. My fiduciary is to that person. We do not have what they call sub-agency, okay, in Sonoma County. If an agent wants to sell it off-market, that's perfectly capable for them to do that. If I'm going to buy it from them and I got a buyer for it, then fine. My buyer is the one I'm protecting. But, you know, we gladly will look at the MLS also, but we see that all the time. So, you know, the thing is that the other one person says withholding from MLS can be a great tool to add value to an agent. And this is the other side of the coin. Okay, if you're an agent who sells a lot of stuff off the MLS, maybe people are thinking you have some secret, you know, tunnel to all the listings. Get someone exclusive access to a house not on Zillow yet? Yeah, people can see that value. So a lot of people, you know, are out looking for properties, and they're seeing properties that are being snatched up, and they want to see something before it even hits the market. And if you can demonstrate that to them, then obviously the buyers will, you know, will talk to you because they want to get into a house with, you know, no competition. And if I'm representing a buyer, that's what I want to do. Also, let's face it, lots of listings are not ready to be presented, but listing is signed. Our rules state we must list it within 3 days of signed contract. Withholding ensures the best product is presented. I don't think ours is 3 days. I forget what the time is, but then you need an exception to the MLS. So the issue is that sometimes, like I said, you hold off properties to make sure that when you present them to the market, all right, that they're actually going to be, you know, ready to sell and the best product is presented to the most people. Then the last comment, we have many different business models in real estate, and some are inherently more likely to create perception issues if not offer a real potential for problems. Are the potential problems worth the perceived benefit? It depends, but should any issue arise, especially one related to something as important and potentially divisive as fair housing, any agent who has communicated with and offered advice to a seller had best be able to clearly demonstrate that whatever they did was in the seller's best interest and fully explain to them. So we'll wrap it up with that comment. You know, I've had people asked me before, they go, well, Mike, you know, so you're going to sell a house off market, but you won't list a house off market. And I said, I will do what my seller asks me to do once they are totally informed of all avenues. If a seller says, no, Mike, I don't want to put it on the market. Okay. I don't want people, you know, going through my mother's possessions. I'm still kind of, you know, in shock over her death. And is there any way we can do this without, and that happens a lot, happens in Oakmont a lot. All right. And there are valid reasons why this is the case, but overall, all right, the more money you guys want to get for your houses, the more exposure you need to have. Now, and some agents will say, oh, that's BS. I get this and this and that for my properties. Well, if you look at the solds off the MLS that are posted each month, then you look at what the general market is selling for. There are exceptions all over the general market which are selling for, you know, much higher of 100% of asking. So until you can tell me, well, you could have gotten, you know, that's the only price you could have gotten, then, in which I don't think you can. You know, I just think you're doing a disservice to your seller. So like I said, that's the opinion of me, not that of KSRO or Keller Williams and all that kind of good stuff. So before we end, just give you a quick update on some of the lot sales, what's going on in the Northeast and Northwest areas with Santa Rosa. You know, currently right now in the Northeast area, there are, when it comes to land, there are about 59 active listings, 39 in escrow. That's a tremendous amount of properties, 10 that are pending. So you almost have like just about a month's supply of inventory. You have 49 in escrow and you have 59 on the market. There's only been 8 sold so far. But the, let's see, the bitty bitty, what am I doing here? What am I doing here, Joe? Here it is in the back. It's on the wrong thing. Okay, that's the total for the Northeast and the Southeast. In the Northwest, there are 9 actives. There are 19 in escrow. And there are currently right now just only 3 solds, medium price of about $165. Northeast, there are 50 on the market. And about, quite a 30 in escrow. 5 have sold so far, and they're selling for about the medium price of $235, anywhere from $120 up to about $549. So there's still a lot of sales happening here. So, well, if you wish to look at or maybe buy some land for speculation or to build, you can always give us a call. NoDumbQuestion@gmail.com. NoDumbQuestion@gmail.com. This has been the Real Estate Hour. I'm Mike Kelly. We'll see you next Sunday with another edition of the Real Estate Hour.
You've been listening to the longest-running real estate talk show in the North Bay, The Real Estate Hour with Mike Kelly. Join Mike every Sunday morning at 9 for tips on buying and selling your home. Call in and ask your questions direct. Don't forget to check in daily with The Real Estate Hour's official blog at therealestatehourblog.com. Mike Kelly on the Real Estate Hour, Sunday mornings on KSRO and KSRO.com.
The preceding was a paid presentation.